How you doing, guys?
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Well, same old, same old, you know. Sun shining in Seattle, that's good.
That's it, yeah. Looking forward to the trip. Patriots first, I think, since 93.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we don't make it out there that much, you know?
You know, it's a great city, and we welcome all of you.
Yeah. Well, appreciate it, and just start us off, Mike. Tell us what's going on out there this season. Obviously, hasn't really unfolded the way I'm sure you hoped it would.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's been an unusual year right from the get-go, you know, but I've been very proud of the players. The guys that are left standing have been going like crazy. We just haven't been quite good enough. And we have four games left. There's a lot of pride in the locker room still. There's still a good feeling in the locker room. But going through a season like this is new for a lot of them, and it's new for me, quite honestly. So my job is to keep them going, keep them playing hard until the end, and then next year, you know, this type of injury situation shouldn't occur again.
I did want to ask you about the injuries because, you know, no coach, no player will ever really use injuries as an excuse. I just wanted to ask you if you've charted where your injury situation ranks, you know, compared to the rest of the league in terms of man games lost.
Well, I think I have not done that.
Okay.
I think we have people here that do that, but I have kind of told them I don't really want to be reminded of that or know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think injuries. Shoot, the Patriots have had injuries. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the best player, one of the best players in football, got hurt in the first game, so. Every team gets hurt. Some teams, I think it's a credit to New England and to Bill that the team is doing so well even after the injuries they've had. You know, but they have a good football team, and they were able to withstand that certainly better than we have. But I think it's at times you look at where you get hurt and how that has affected your particular situation. Every team's different. And in our case, you know, it was pretty disruptive.
Mike, I know, you know, being around the game as long as you've been, I mean, are you at all curious if injuries are just in general up around the league? I mean, is that something that you concern yourself with at this time, or is that something you might look at, let's say, after the season?
Well, I'm not going to look at much after the season except my motorcycle and my swimming fins,
yes,
you know.
Yes, I did want to ask you about that after this.
Yeah. But so I'll let someone else worry about the injuries. But this year, this has been. I don't know. I think you might have a year where it's a little bit higher or lower. I don't think there's anything. I don't think anyone would be able to pinpoint that. The players are bigger and stronger, and we all know that kind of stuff. And they're always studying the shoes and studying the fields and all that. But the simple fact is, football is a different sport that way. The injury factor is definitely part of our world in this game. And you just keep your fingers crossed that you don't get big ones and you don't get key guys hurt. And sometimes that doesn't happen. And I know this, that the teams that typically are playing at the end of the year, you know, typically are the teams that have been most healthy.
And you mentioned what you're going to be doing after this season, and I'm sure you've been asked this question probably on every conference call you've done and by your own media out there. What are your plans? I mean, could you be wooed by, let's say, an organization looking for a general manager, or are you firm, I'm out next year?
You know what, right now I'm looking at it like I'm going to take a year off. That's how I'm looking at it right now. And if you ask my wife, Kathy, that's definitely how she's looking at it right now. So, you know, we thought, and I thought long and hard about this before I came back for this season. And, you know, now I've had, you know, 17 years in a row of being a head coach in the league, and I've learned some things about myself and also some things I don't bounce back from so well. And so I think it's the right time for me to kind of get recharged and step back and maybe learn a little bit more about myself in the next year. So right now, that's what we're going to do.
This might be a tough question, you know, to answer now, and maybe it's something better for after the season. But, you know, this situation where it seems like your replacement is in-house, Has that at all been tough, Mike? I mean, has it led to any awkward situations at all, if you could comment on that?
No, I think that's a very fair question, and it's something that we knew was going to come up. The only thing I had wished for at the time was that particular, even though I wanted people in the building to know what the situation was, particularly the coaching staff, I didn't want it to be that public. And when it went public, of course, the cat's out of the bag. But Jim Mora has been here. He's been the secondary coach. He'll be the next coach of the Seahawks. And Jim and I spoke a number of times about how we wanted this to go this year, prior to the year starting. And he's been great. I mean, he's coaching this like crazy, coaching the secondary. And I can honestly say, even though people, because of our record, would like to think that's been part of it, and I can honestly say it hasn't had anything to do with it. You know, the players have responded to me the way they always have. It's just too bad that we're having the season we're having, because then it opens up some sort of questions about how were they doing this. I think the organization is comfortable. I know the organization is comfortable with how they did it, and you know, it's I did it because I didn't want the speculation going in my last year, is he coming back and all that, taken away from the football team. And it's just too bad that, you know, that we didn't play a little bit better this year.
And just to follow up on that, what are the potential challenges of that type of arrangement? I mean, we see the same thing in Indianapolis with Jim Caldwell and Tony Dungy. They've sort of made a similar thing there. And it seems like it would almost make sense in some respects, Mike, you know, to know you have the next guy lined up. But I guess there's also some challenges with that, too. What are some of those, if there are?
Well, I think what you have to think about is how is it going to affect the players? That's the number one thing. And, yeah, you know, a lot of these players have been with me a long time. I've been here 10 years. They know how I operate. They know my emotions. They know. And I don't think I've changed this year. I think had I changed and had the dynamic on the field or at practice or in meetings been different, then I think you open yourself up to maybe the players saying, well, who should we look to? But if you don't change that, if you approach it as business as usual, then I don't think there's a problem. I really don't. And you know, I'm a demonstrative guy. I'm an emotional coach. And the players knew. I had a good meeting with them at the beginning of the year, and they've been super about it. And so I think if you handle it right, if you do it right, and everyone knows what the program is, you got a chance to make it work.
Mike, what about some of the things that maybe aren't in your control, though? I mean, I know you're well aware that the job at the University of Washington has been open for some time now, and obviously Coach Mora, having played there, there have been rumors swirling around about it and everything else. Is that maybe the negative of the whole thing, that if a rumor like that comes up, then all of a sudden it might kind of put everybody in a tough spot?
Well, I think that could happen. Absolutely that could happen, and that rumor was floating around here pretty strongly. But I have very little to do with that. I, as the head coach of the Seahawks, I'm concerned with what I'm doing. I think, though, when things like that, if things were like that were to come up, you know, with the heir apparent, you know, in this case, Jim Mora, then the organization and Jim, they have to work that out. Then that has to be clear. And I think everyone has to be upfront and honest about it. I mean, you know, in this day and age, if you want to be a college head coach and have the opportunity, if you want to, you have to make those decisions as a coach. And I think it's only reasonable and fair that you're honest with the organization.
So you think that, but you'd stay out of it, and if Coach Mora did have a change of heart, do you think that'd be understandable?
If he had a change of heart and decided to do what?
Decided that he might want the Washington job instead of the Seahawks job.
Yeah, I'm kind of out of that. I mean, I have my hands full trying to figure out how to pick up the blitz against the Patriots, you know. If I was in charge, say I was dealing with the coach in this area, I would expect that coach to be upfront with me. I would be honest with him. And I think that's how you conduct business. I just don't see that as being a particular problem, as long as both sides are willing to be upfront.
Getting back to the Patriots, they have had a lot of injuries, like you mentioned, but is it still somewhat surprising to see a team that's had so much success with three championships, almost undefeated last year, to be kind of on the cusp of maybe not making the playoffs, to see the change that has happened so quickly over the last year for them?
Well, I think, you know, I've had to, plus I've had to do a lot of thinking about this because of our own injury situation. But in trying to evaluate our situation, I think, and the Patriots were so good that they have been able to withstand this and still are in the playoff hunt. In our case, you know, let's just assume for a second that you were a 12-4, or at least projected to be a 12-4, 11-5 team and win your division and do all that. Okay, bang, you lose your quarterback. I don't care who you are. And I'm not talking about a Tom Brady type quarterback, your starting quarterback. Typically, okay, you can automatically, that's two or three games, automatically. Now, in our case, we lost the quarterback, then we lost all of our wide receivers. Not only the starters, but the backups, and then the two guys we hired from the Chevron station. All of them. You know. Now, that's two or three. There's another two games. Then you lose four offensive linemen. That's another two games. And then you lose your top defensive player, Patrick Kerner. That's another two games. So, you know, they absolutely have an effect on what your win-loss record's going to be. And like I said, it's a real tribute to the Patriots, I think, to see where they are. Now, it's a little shocked, I suppose, to everyone's system because they've been so good. And, heck, undefeated, for Pete's sakes, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's what this business is. Injuries do affect the outcome of games and the outcome of your season.
If you look at teams that have won through injuries like that, though, is there one thing that primarily, when you see one of those teams on tape that maybe has 7-8 guys on IR, I mean, is it generally just the depth of their 53? Is it coaching? Or, I mean, is there one thing, I know it's a little bit of everything, but is there one thing that usually sticks out above all else in those cases?
Well, I think it's the type of team you are and where you get hurt. You know, if you live and die, as an example, by the pass, let's just say that as an example, and you lose your quarterback and wide receivers, that's going to have a profound effect on you. If your team is built to run the ball and pound the ball, and you say a Baltimore with a young quarterback, great defensive team, you know, they play the game a certain way, and you lose your young quarterback and then have to play with a veteran backup, that's not going to have the same type of effect on your roster. It's kind of like it absolutely has to do with how you put your team together. And if you were a running pound them team and you lost all your running backs and three of your linemen, yeah, no, you wouldn't have a very good year, I wouldn't think. So, you know, it that's part of it. I think there are a lot of good coaches, you know. Now, I you know, Coach Belichick is one of the best of all time. So he can kind of overcome some of those things, but he's human. So I think it's mainly how you set up your team. What are your strengths? Have you been hit in your strengths? And can, in our case, can your defense kind of carry the load for a while? And we've struggled that way.
Mike, could you just look back on Deion Branch's time out there? I know he's been hurt a lot. You know, you made the trade, you made a big splash with it. How would you assess what you've gotten from Deion?
Well, I think Deion's been frustrated because he's been hurt a little bit too much. And he hadn't been hurt before. I just told my own guys, you know, I was asked that question in my own press conference. If you had to pick a game where you're going to showcase your talents, you know, and he hit it, you know, in the Super Bowl, you know, that the timing was just brilliant and wonderful for him. Now, you guys know him. He's a great guy, but he'd never been hurt before. And he has been injured out here, which is unfortunate. My hope is now he comes back off these injuries. He's playing again for us this year. He just started playing a couple weeks ago, and he's making a contribution. Is he the 100-catch guy who kind of carries your offensive team? He has not been that for us. And, you know, maybe he will be in the future. I know this. I enjoy him. He's a team guy, and he works very hard, and So all that's good.
What about Heath Evans?
Yeah. I mean, he's had a great run with you guys. I mean, we drafted him, and Heath, I loved Heath. You know, and he had, for us, we had Sean Alexander, and he and Heath were actually very good friends, and Heath was actually I called him a halfback in a fullback's body, and he, great runner, good pass receiver. We needed him to be a slamming up in there blocker, and, you know, that those things don't come easy all the time for guys that are used to touching the ball and carrying the ball more. So, you know, maybe we weren't quite patient enough with Heath, but he is one of the good guys I've ever coached. And, you know, I've said this before with the guys that are in the league who I have had some time with. I root for Heath Evans. Now, well, I'm not going to root for him Sunday, but I root for him and how he plays. And he's a good guy.
Your pass defense, the numbers obviously aren't where you want them. I mean, is it injuries? What's been the cause of the, you know, your pass
defense? I think any time the passing numbers are up for any team would surprise you, typically it's tied in directly with pass rush. That's what I think. I think we have basically the same secondary and linebackers we've had. We've had trouble harassing the quarterback and making him throw the ball poorly. That's the biggest thing. You know, we've been victimized a little bit this year by the long play. You know, last year we were very good at shutting that down. The year before that, we weren't so good. So it goes like that. This year, it's been a tough year all the way around. But I would say pass rush is the biggest thing.
John Carlson, how pleasant a surprise has he been?
Well, you know what? I wouldn't call him a surprise necessarily, but the only surprise would be is that a rookie comes in and does what he does as a rookie. I think he's mature beyond his years. I think he's got a bright, bright, bright future. I wish I had him 10 years ago, you know. And he's just what you want at the position, and he's smart. And once he gets a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, you know, I think he'll be a really fine tight end in this league for a long time. Pro Bowl caliber tight end.
I'm guessing you've been asked this question before, but impressions of Brett Favre, the Jet years.
How about that, huh? I mean, you guys have to play against him a couple times, and then the irony here is my last game in Seattle is against, he's playing for the other team. I thought we played that movie a couple years ago in Green Bay a couple times, you know. Nothing he does surprises me, really. He's a remarkable athlete. We've been talking about injuries a fair amount on this conference call, and you think about it, of all the great things he's done, the most remarkable is his consecutive game streak. When you think about it, that'll never be touched. It's unbelievable, and he's just a tough guy who clearly wanted to play some more, you know, and. The Jets, bless their hearts. I mean, they worked it out, and it has really worked well for them.
Speaking of the long ball, Mike, what have you seen on film on how the chemistry between Castle and Randy Moss has developed?
You know what? That's hard for me to judge, honestly. I think Castle, to me, has really impressed me with what he's done, given his experience. Again, it's a credit to Bill and his staff and the support that he has around him. You know, there's a case of a young quarterback who hasn't had a chance to play, gets his chance, but now he gets to throw the ball to Randy Moss. That's a pretty good deal. You know, and he's got an offensive line. He's got a veteran offensive line. He's got a Kevin Falk. He's got some guys that can really help him. But he's got to hold up his end of the bargain, and I think he's done it beautifully. I mean, I'm very, very impressed with the job he's doing.
We've gone quite a bit here, Mike. I think this will be the last one, and we appreciate it. Just curious, league-wide, have you at all noticed more pick plays offensively? And maybe it's just because they get shown in the highlights that it seems like maybe more teams are doing them. Have you noticed that at all, or have those always been around and maybe we're just seeing them more in those isolated highlights?
No, I think you're probably seeing a little bit more. Of course, being an offensive coach, I would never use the P word.
Yes.
That doesn't exist.
Yes.
But I think what you do see is a lot more man-to-man coverage. You see a lot more press man-to-man crowd-type coverages. And one of the weapons you have offensively to combat that is to cross your receivers and rub people off and things like that. So I think one kind of, if it is happening more, it's happening more as a reaction to the type of defenses you're seeing. Officials, to me, think they know if it's a pick more than the fact that it's actually a pick. Oftentimes, the guy that gets called for the penalty, honestly, is a potential pass receiver in the route. And to me, you know, that's not always officiated just exactly the way it should be.
But isn't that a hard call, Mike, for those guys? Because are you almost like judging intent there? I mean,
yeah, that's my point.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a hard call, so don't call it. You know what I mean? Stay away from the intent.
Yes.
Because you don't really know, oftentimes, you have no idea, oftentimes, what the pattern's all about and what those players have been told.
Sure. All right, well, really appreciate you spending all that time with us. Looking forward to
coming
out. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Coach.